This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, vacation's over. We're back to it today. Not that anybody was on vacation. And I think a lot of people actually may be with spring break this week, but we're not. Session underway, tariffs continue. We'll talk about it all in a moment. Highs today of 81, nothing but sunshine. Same thing tomorrow, but 78 for a high. Wednesday, 76. Looking ahead to the Easter weekend, highs Thursday of 81. Friday, a lot of people boiling crawfish, etc. 84. Saturday, 84. Sunday, 82 with maybe some clouds, but dry all the way until then. Right now, we're looking at 61 degrees, feeling pretty good outside, and we're talking about tariffs, because whether you agree with them, whether you disagree with them, whether you're confused, they are going to affect your life one way or the other. And we're joined by our friend Prashant Yadav, the healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations. Good morning, Prashant. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Thanks for bringing up important issues for your audience and listeners on healthcare.
Well, thank you. We have not yet talked about tariffs in terms of prescription drug medicines, but I got to believe that there's going to be, first of all, I don't know, Prashant, where we stand with tariffs. And I think if anybody does, they're kidding themselves. I don't know exactly where we stand exactly with anything, with countries. Take me from the get-go with supply chains and prescription drugs and all that stuff vis-a-vis tariffs.
Yeah, thanks. So I think we've got to keep in mind that, you know, we should categorize medicines into two broad categories. Things which are manufactured right here in the United States, these are medicines which are usually higher-end, cell and gene therapy, high-end oncology products, things which are somewhat latest and novel therapeutics. They are manufactured here in the U.S., so they will not be impacted by tariffs to a large degree, with the exception that some of them, for reasons that pharmaceutical companies choose to have a single production plant in the EU or in Ireland, some might have an impact of tariffs on the EU. The second category of medicines are what we call as the more established generic medicines, such as the antibiotic you take when you have a bacterial infection or a hospital-based injectable product, like a more established oncology medicine for cancer. Those are the things that come to the U.S. largely from India, and some of the ingredients into manufacturing them come from China. That's where the impact of tariffs will be large, and potential tariffs on that will mean both changes in prices, which either the insurer or in some cases patients themselves have to pay, and more importantly, it creates the risk of supply disruption, which means because of the uncertainty in the tariffs, there might be situations where the importing organization or the wholesaler may just not be able to get the right amount of stock in time, or the companies that manufacture it may not know what tariff to apply, so they may not send the shipment on time. Those are risks that are pending. We will know more as things evolve, but that's just the top line, I would say.
What, Prashant, if you could give us some, not the generic names of medicines, please, and I don't want to confuse this by you giving me brand names when it turns out to be the generic that you're talking about, but you know, the doctor sometimes will ask what medicine, and they give me the generic, and I can't even pronounce what the hell is on the label, so I don't know what it is. But can you give me maybe some brand names that aren't brand names anymore that are generics that could be affected that are made in India, et cetera?
So let's take simple ones. So okay. Amoxicillin 500 or Amoxicillin Clavulanate 650, these are medicines that, you know, if your child is sick, you go to a pediatrician's office and they have a bacterial infection, that's what you will get prescribed. Or heparin, which is a common blood thinner. Most people who are at risk of stroke would take heparin. Right? Those are two medicines which are mainstream use, and a large percentage of those are manufactured in India or in China, or the active ingredient to manufacture them, even in the U.S., comes from China.
Professor, you know, I'm going to read the text here. It's not me. It's somebody that texted in, and I just want you to address, you know, I like to surface objections here because you don't know what people think, and sometimes maybe they don't express themselves the best. But it says, why do those two come from third world countries? Those are two of the dirtiest in the world. I don't know where you want to start on that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so I think we've got to go back and ask the question, where did we start this offshoring business where such a large proportion of our medicine supply comes from India and China, and what were the factors behind it? So I think there is a combination of factors, one of which also includes the fact that production of some of these medicines is environmentally not that clean. And our environmental laws are strict, and they are designed to ensure
Let me stop here a second. So while I think the texter was talking about the medical factories being not clean, what you're saying is the production of the medicine themselves is not environmentally friendly, and environmental regulations led to those being produced offshore. Is that what you're saying?
To some degree, yes. There are a multitude of factors, one of which is the fact that the production is not environmentally clean. So they are being produced in places where this could be done. Now, that doesn't mean that the production will remain environmentally unclean throughout. I mean, if we invest, we implying the government invests money in new production technology that can make the process of manufacturing cleaner at the same cost, then we can make them right here in the U.S. without having to worry about the effluent or the quality of environmental degradation or any of those reasons. So, but those investments have not happened. That's where we need to focus a lot more than assuming that tariffs will bring back that production to the U.S.
So,
there are questions about quality that come up. Every time you ask the question, we are buying such a large proportion of our medicines from India and China. There are genuine quality concerns. That doesn't mean every single company that's exporting medicines produces poor quality, but there's always some bad apples in the business.
So when it comes to medicine being produced in India or China, who's regulating that?
If they are coming to the U.S., they are regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Their inspectors go and visit their sites. But given that the manufacturers are located overseas, sometimes it's not that simple and straightforward for an FDA inspector to visit a site that is overseas as compared to a site that's located within the United States. But the regulation is done by the U.S. FDA.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Prashant Yadav, a healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, our friend who helps when we get confused about things, and now we're confused about tariffs and prescription medicine. 621 traffic now, WWL. All right, 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert at the Council on Foreign Relations, about the possible effect of tariffs. Prashant, somebody texted him about these weight loss drugs, which is a good question because I take them myself, and I've lost about 100 pounds, and I'm down 154 from 235. I don't want this stuff to go away. Where does the production of that stuff stand? Is there generic versions or compound versions being brought in from outside the United States? Is the brand name being made here? Walk me through that, if you would, please.
There are three types of products for anti-obesity, the GLP-1s that have become available in the last few years. One is from Lilly, which is manufactured in the United States. The other one is Ozempic from a company called Novo Nordisk in Denmark. A significant portion of their production happens in the EU. And then it comes to the U.S. And then because we've not had ample supply of these two drugs, compounding pharmacies across the country have been compounding the drug for which the API once again comes either from the U.S. or from the EU. So that's the structure. Now, if tariffs do come for product coming in, pharmaceuticals coming into the U.S. from the EU, then at least for the portion that comes from one of those drugs will have an impact. How much we can't say. Pricing for pharmaceuticals is designed based on tax optimization, lots of other things, but it will have an impact. The one that comes from Lilly is manufactured domestically, so that wouldn't should not have an impact. And same thing for the ones that are compounded by pharmacies locally, it should have a relatively modest, if any, impact.
Are these drugs, do they import the raw ingredients from China, and do people compound them here, Prashant, do you know?
Not for the GLP-1s, but for many other drugs, we do have. So heparin is one example. That's a blood thinner. A large number of people in the U.S. are on a blood thinner, which is heparin. Now, even if it's manufactured by a company here in the U.S., its active ingredient comes from China because it's made it's using animal tissue, and we don't have that production happening in the U.S. at the moment. So a significant, I would say, about 60-70% of that active ingredients comes from China.
Somebody texted in, Prashant, and it says, get the manufacturing of our drugs back to America. Damn the freaking costs. That's a nice thought, but a lot of people can't afford drugs that are already made here, right?
There are two things in play. One is cost, and the other is timelines to do it, right? So, I mean, absolutely, for the most critical medicines, we should have supply resilience. We should have manufacturing within the U.S. so that in times of need, we don't have to rely on a foreign partner. But the timelines to make that production happen are 3 to 5 years, sometimes even longer, to set up a new plant. And the second is we can't do it for every single medicine. We've got to make sure it is for the most critical medicines, right? And that will ensure that we take our costs that are going to go up and only apply that to the most critical ones, not across the board. Right, so those are two things to keep in mind. One is the timelines for bringing production, setting up a factory are relatively long. A pharmaceutical plant typically takes between 3 to 5 years, sometimes longer. And the second is we've got to focus on critical medicines where our dependency is the highest and they are the most acute ones, versus saying we can do this across the board for every single medicine.
I know we have 30 seconds left. They're going to get mad at me for asking a question, but I have to, and that is, what can we as consumers anticipate in the next 6 months?
Some modest price increases in case the tariffs on pharmaceuticals do come on board. There will be some price increases, may not be very large, but some modest price increases. And the second is, in some select cases, unless it is managed carefully by all the parties involved, which is the manufacturers, the importing entities, the distributors, and the government, there might even be some supply disruptions.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Prashant Yadav, healthcare supply chain expert of the Council on Foreign Relations. The legislative session gavels in at noon. We'll talk to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly, when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News.